This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. Welcome to the Funny Mummies. I'm Hattie Ashdown, and today I'm on my own. Well, I'm not completely on my own. Gemma's not here. She's getting her hair done. We'll talk about that in a bit. It sort of relates to our topic, actually, of that you can't have it all, because it's just our loose topic today. But let's get on to my guest today, who's going to keep me company. My guest today is one of those comedians that once she hit the stand-up scene, mate, she just was running. Things moved very fast for her, from being a finalist for the very prestigious competition, So You Think You're Funny competition. Then she got signed to a big agent. Then she started supporting people like Romesh and Rob Beckett. And now, I mean, I believe she's still supporting Alan Carr. He needs that support, mate. He needs that support. But still, with all this, it wasn't enough. She decided to have a baby. She's had that baby. And now I think there might be another baby on the way. We'll find out in any second now. It's fellow Kent girl, Kelly Convey. Hello.
Hello. Hello, my darling. Yeah.
And B, I should say.
And B. She was meant to be having her nap and she woke up as we started. So
of course. She wanted to get in on the action.
I know. I think she was like, oh, mummy's doing something important. I better wake up. So she's going to be in on the action. She'll probably squeal a couple of times and she's good now. She's just turned one, so she's hi. So she's,
oh, hi on cue. Hi, B.
Hi.
Bah.
What else can you say?
You say, what does doggies do? They go woof. Can you say woof?
No. See, they don't perform on command.
Rubbish. Well, I wish you did. Could get rid of talent or something. One of us at least gets on the telly.
So I've just found out you're pregnant again. 6 months.
I am. Yeah. So yeah, she just turned one, and then the next one's due in January. So I just really love stress. Just really love to sort of get, you know, as much piled on as possible. But I mean, obviously she was planned, and this one, I mean, what we thought was that we'd want them close together.
Yeah.
Just because you can just get that, especially for my career, I feel like it's always going to disturb it.
Yes.
So if we have them close together, it's a period of disturption. I don't know if that's a word. Disturption. It's a period of disturption for a few years. Instead of doing it, going back, having that break again, going back, having that break again. So it was always in the plan, but it certainly wasn't planned as such. Ah. Like, we had her, and then I don't know about the maths, but it was one time.
Have you felt a little bit like you're just constantly pregnant? You must feel a little
bit. I do,
like,
yeah. I mean, I'm going into my third sober Christmas, and oh my God.
Oh, bless you.
Like, I'm like, we're doing it at home this year. I can't be around mine or his family with being sober, bored in the corner. We've got a really like heavy drinking family, yeah. So to be sober again. Oh no, mate, I'm sorry.
But they don't go, oh, go on, have one, it's all right. In my day, we'd have a couple, it's all right.
Yeah, so they remember Bruce's grandpa, who's the sweetest, sweetest old man. And obviously they are from a different time. And when I was pregnant with B, we went down there and we popped in and he said, oh, will you have a glass of wine? I said, oh no, I'm pregnant. So no, he went, just a small one then. A glass of wine. So yeah, no, but they're, yeah, so it's but they get like proper on it, and I have to say that is I don't mind the pregnancy. Mm. I don't mind the babies, all of that
stuff. Lucky.
Walk in the park. Yeah. I think it is. Oh, I miss my drink.
I love that. Mine weren't as close as yours. Well, 3 years, so I'm not close at all, really. But they ended up being over Christmas. So I am with you. I did have two sober Christmases, but
such a drag.
I had quite sickness as well, so it was like, oh great, I feel sick and I can't drink. So yeah, and everyone's eating lovely food, and you're just like, ugh. You've not had the sickness then?
I've been all right. Well, the first couple of months when we weren't telling everyone, I was super tired and super, a lot more this time than when I was with B. I'm feeling pretty just under the weather, not more than like pukey. Mm. And obviously not telling anyone, because we had our wedding.
Oh, so, congratulations, yes.
Yeah, so it got put off three times because of the pandemic. Oh. Being actually because of wedding number two. She was in place of wedding number two. So our wedding was coming up and we wanted to announce it at the wedding. So I had to go through my wedding sober as well. But I keep bringing it back to the drink. You can tell I want a glass of wine. It's only 10 in the morning. but I couldn't get a drink at my own bloody wedding. So I had a bit of like more just tiredness and sickness on that day, which was a bit of a shame. But then that subsided literally just after the wedding, and we went away on our honeymoon and that. So been quite lucky with the old sickness on both of them. With her, I didn't really have anything really. I just got quite like swollen. I got very swollen. Oh,
beautiful,
her.
Beautiful swollen feet.
Oh, and face.
And face.
Yeah, looking back at the photos, I was like, my God. Feet, I couldn't get them even in flip-flops by the end. I was so swollen. It was through a heat wave. When I was like, literally on my due date, it was a heat wave. She was 2 weeks late. And for those 2 weeks, it was boiling. And I didn't know if my waters had gone or it was just a sweaty goo.
Just sweat.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they've got, when they went, I was like, okay, that's what waters are. Yeah. The whole time I was like, I'm wet, babe, I'm wet. And I was like, no, just really sweaty.
I sometimes have these little icebreakers, but as you can, we don't really need them with you, but I'm going to give you a couple anyway. It's just sometimes to refocus us, because what it's like as a mum, you don't get to finish any conversations anymore. You sort of start about three different conversations. So let's go. Just don't think about your answers too much. Just best advice you've ever had for parenting?
Breathe.
Love it. Well, that applies definitely in birth, doesn't it? And just every day.
All along, just the whole way, just breathe. I think
to breathe. Worst advice.
Worst advice. I would say that something that does my head in is the constant algorithm on Instagram where I'm getting videos of like the mum advice, and it's like, if your child is struggling with a toy, don't intervene. And you're like, oh my God, like, what did anyone raise a child before Instagram videos would teach us how to do it? So those Instagram videos where they're like telling you to do like all the ridiculous things are really annoying. But direct advice, I think I just ignore it.
That's great though. No, that's good. That means no one dared give you any advice. They're like, they look at you, they're like, Kelly does not need any advice. But you know, like the old women on the bus, they feel like they know best, don't they, sometimes? And
they do. They come up to you. Oh, you, like, sure, they'll talk to the baby. Yeah. And they'll talk to B directly and go, you must be so cold. So you're trying to tell me I ain't got enough clothes on my baby or something? Oh, you must be freezing. Look, your little toes are out.
It's so passive aggressive, isn't it, really? It's like, It's like they want to say to you, oh, she needs a blanket on, or oh, she needs gloves on. But yeah, oh,
it's
bless
the
them.
baby, like, oh, right, yeah, she's freezing to death. Leave her alone. That's where she likes it.
They mean well, don't they? But I mean, you know, sometimes it restores me with, I think, oh, when you get old, you can just say whatever you want. But because I've had a lot of it with my second one's name, Buster. And I had an old lady in the nail parlour, like you do, sitting there getting your nails done. And I said his name was Buster. And she went, oh, he's not. She went, oh, poor little thing.
I think Buster's a brilliant name.
Oh yeah, so obviously I don't care what she thinks, but I'm like, it was like I wasn't there, like, yeah. I was a video. I was like, I am here. I'm
you don't count, do you? You're just an effigy. You're just something that's bringing the child around.
Then I think, oh well, great, when I'm older I can say what I like. Leggings or jeans?
Oh, at the moment, leggings.
It's leggings, isn't it, B? It's leggings all the
way. I can't get in the bloody jeans at the moment, so it's leggings.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It sounds pregnant.
You don't have those maternity jeans with the, like, extra bit?
Oh, yeah, I do. I've got them now. Because, it was in the summer, so I just wore, like, the big, like, momos, like, whereas now I've got to wrap up a bit. And I was wearing my jeans, but tying it up with a hairband. And
oh, yeah.
Too uncomfortable. Now I've got, so what I've got is like jeggings, which are constantly falling, you know, the one with the big bump bit.
Yeah.
I'm constantly pulling them up, like it's just constantly like just rearranging myself. So I would much prefer leggings at the moment. Jeans usually.
Okay, you have, this is sort of relates to kind of what we're going to talk about today. You have a last minute TV job and there's no one to have the kids except another parent you've only met at the gates. I know you're, it's not the school gates yet, but let's just pretend, or at nursery, or pay an agency you've never met before. So somebody from an agency you've never met before.
I'd go with the mum if she doesn't mind. Does she know about this? Do I just leave it on the door?
Yeah, it's like, it's a hypothetical, obviously. Yeah, I guess the situation is that you've said, I've got this job, and she said, I'll have her, but you've only really spoke to her a couple of times.
Yeah, if she's got a child at the same school as mine, then I can always hunt her down if she does anything. Yeah, I'd go with the child. Agency. Don't know why I don't trust the agency.
Have you gone down that road with agencies and?
We were trying to look into nursery, so we're really struggling with a nursery. What I didn't realise is that you are meant to register with the nursery when you're 15 years old yourself.
Yeah.
I was like, I was speaking to him up because, long story short, we haven't lived where we're meant to be living for a year because our house is being done up.
Oh.
So we've lived at my dad's since she was born. So I haven't lived where we should live. So I've been in it with the mums and all that. So I've made a couple of friends over there. And I was speaking to one mum like a few months ago and she said, so what nursery is she going to? And I was like, I don't know yet. I'm going to have a little look around. She was like, sorry. What? You haven't applied? And I was like, what? And she's like, you're never going to get anywhere. And I was like, oh my God, is this true? Like, I didn't realize. I started contacting nurseries and they all have an 18-month to 2-year waiting list.
Wow.
Like literally every single one of them. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I joined one the other day and it's a waiting list. You have to pay to go on the waiting list.
No.
Yeah, non-refundable to join the waiting list. All of them. So I joined the waiting list and it assigned me a number of 306. So I phoned them and I said, just wondering, is that my just a number or is that? And she's like, no, that is your place in the queue. That is your place in the waiting list. So I don't think she's going to go to nursery because literally it's not even that it's an option because there's none available. And because obviously, you know, working in the evenings, it's not a necessity as such.
No.
But it is.
I was going to say, like, because you've got now it's a different situation because obviously you've got the other one coming along. But just to explain to other people that, like, you know, I mean, that's the thing. How is it? How does it normally work with childcare, with you going out? Does it, do you manage to do it between you and your husband?
Yeah, so what the good thing is that Bruce, my husband, has got like a just a regular, like sturdy, pandemic safe job, which has
Oh,
been a
beautiful.
blessing. And so he will work, and if I've got a gig that I have to leave fairly early, he's got quite a flexible job where he could work from home in the afternoon or whatever. So there are, you know, and he can't do it all the time, but if he needs to get home by 4 for me to leave, then he does that. So then he gets home early and then I go out, because I went back to work when she was 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, because I didn't really have a choice. So as you were saying at the start, I am Alan Carr's crutch. Now I've been supporting Alan for a while now, and what happened was is that I did like a work in progress tour, which was much smaller tour, did all of that support, and then that was leading up to the big sort of, you know, not stadium, but you know, a big arena tour sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, they're massive venues. I've seen the pictures, mate. Well
Yeah, the
done.
big theatres. So that was leading up to that, but that was meant to happen sort of before the pandemic.
I
But then the
see.
pandemic happened, and it got pushed back and back and back and back. And then the new start date of the tour was actually my due date with B. So
Right.
I was like, oh my God, I was like, Alan, don't suppose you want to push your tour back at all, do you? But so it was just a too big an opportunity to sort of miss out on. So I
Yeah.
decided that I would go back after 3 months and miss out a bit of the tour. I've missed out, so it got split. So I do all of the south, and someone else does the north. So Louise Young, she's great. I don't know
I
if you
don't
know
know.
Louise. So Louise has taken the north stuff because she's from up there.
There you go, makes sense.
So
Job share, isn't it? Job share.
job share. So I've kind of lost half the toy in a sense, but I mean, like, you know, but then again, I could have lost, lost, that's such a negative word, but yeah, I'm rambling here. But basically, after 3 months, we were like, we've got to do this. So we just got into a pattern of him having her in the evenings. I was still breastfeeding, but I was pumping, and then he would give her a bottle in the evening, which was nice for them actually, because like they got that time to sort of have on their own and bond.
Yeah.
So we just make it work. Like if there's like a weekend away where I have to be away for like 3 nights, a lot of the time they all just come.
Yeah.
So we take him, the dog, the kitchen sink, a lot.
The
Yeah, the dog has to come as well. So we all go up and just make it work. But I'm definitely not working as much as I was. Yeah, like I used to gig 7 nights a week, and now I do a few a week maximum, really.
But I mean, and how does that? So many questions I want to ask you. How does that make you feel? Because, you know, I mean, I remember someone said to me, like, when I got pregnant the first time, and I missed out on a film because I was it worked out I was going to be really heavily pregnant when I'd be filming. And I was like, well, it's fine if you just film from up here. And we even discussed making her pregnant, but it was for insurance reasons. It was a small film. It was filming up in Glasgow, miles away from here, but we're, you know, and it was the first kind of like, oh my God, the sacrifices. But obviously you gain this beautiful baby, but I think it was the first, you know, and a friend said to me that they're in, you know, the sacrifices sort of start. We should find another way.
You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast, the mum meetup you don't have to get dressed for.
Because this is what I want to talk about is that this whole thing now I think is a little bit dangerous that a lot of, let's say, you know, high profile celebrities or whatever put out this thing of like, look at me, I'm a pop singer and I've got a baby and I've got the and I've got my own, I don't know, perfume or whatever, and I've got all these things going on, and I just think it's a little bit damaging to anyone sitting at home who might be struggling as well, and just think, well, I can barely, you know, get dressed or clean my teeth or whatever, and I feel like it's our responsibility on Funny Mummies to sort of say that that is not how it is. Even if it seems like they're having it all, there's always going to be something you're sacrificing. And they're probably not telling the whole truth.
I just think that the ones that are, like, there's someone that who I really, really like, and, like, they're definitely massively in the public eye. They talk about their routine, like, they're constantly working out, they're fit as anything, like, they're constantly doing, sorry, my dog is snoring his head off in the background, if you can hear that. you know, they're doing, like, different, here's my collab with this, here's my that and that, and, you know, they're presenting this and they're presenting that and blah, 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 blah. Then they're constantly on the go, and then, like, they will say, oh, you know, I was out last night, and I'm like, you've literally just had a baby, and I'm, how do you do all of these things? And yeah. And fair play, like, that's brilliant, but they're also earning enough money to have the childcare that,
yeah, and that, the PAs, someone's organizing that all for you.
Yeah. So and do you know what, if I could do it, then brilliant, you know. Like, if I was getting that work and I was getting that money and I could afford all of that stuff and have a living nanny and all that, you know, fair play, like, but I don't think that's realistic, like, to the rest of the world. And like you say, you do have to turn things down. And I think I found it kind of strange since having her, and I know it's going to be even more so with this one as well, is that when I first started doing comedy, and like you said at the start, I rose really quickly. So, and I was always a yes person, because I always just felt inferior, imposter syndrome, you know, like that kind of, I'm only 6 months in and I'm getting paid gigs, and like, whatever was put my way, I said yes. So I would do minimum 7 gigs a week, sometimes 2 a night, you know. I'd be there like, yeah, whatever you want from me, I am here, this is me. And now, since having her, I'm saying probably no more than I say yes. And that's a really alien place for me to be in, because the whole of my career has never been that. It's always been yes to whatever you want me to do and whatever is available. So that's a kind of weird thing for me to be like, nah, I can't go to Liverpool next week. Like, I just can't.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a kind of uncomfortable feeling of people, my agent, I don't feel like they do feel like this, but I feel like it, is that they don't feel like I'm necessarily as committed as I was, which I am.
Yeah.
But my time is not available as much. So I do feel like there's this uncomfortableness of saying no to things a lot. Mm. But what I've come to realizing myself, and I feel like this can probably apply to like most people's careers, is that, and what I try and remind myself, and it's not very easy to, is that I'm 35, I'm in my mid-30s, I'm having my children, and then you look at someone, if you refer it back to comedy, like, I don't know, the greats, like, you've got people like Ramesh and that in their 40s, and stuff. You've got time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you know, even if you're in a bank or whatever, like, you feel like you haven't got, everything has to be now, but actually you have got time.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, okay, you're on pause a little bit at the moment. And yeah, you couldn't do that job. Yeah, you couldn't do that job. But in 10 years' time, when they're at school,
yeah,
like, it's not like you're going to be some wrinkled up, like, piece of shit that, like, literally can't
do it. And if you are, what a great comic you'll make. Hello, I'm a wrinkled up piece of shit. Laugh at me,
everybody.
I don't know why I'm American when I'm as wrinkled.
You never speak like this.
I don't know why I've turned American. I've gone to America, I'm old, and my career has taken off in my 80s.
Just coming onto the stage with a fag like that. Are you all right, everybody?
Yeah.
It's good to be here for my 40th birthday. Like, you know, it's not like you're going to be washed out. And I feel like that's just life in general. You feel like everything has to be now, and that time is running out, and actually we've got so much time to make all this up, right?
Like, yeah, and like you say, that applies to anything. I've got a lot of lovely mum friends now, and they're real friends, they're not just mum friends. I've been out for drinks with them without children, and you know, they've got certain things, and I go, because I'm sort of one of the older ones, and they go, oh, you know, I'm worried because I'm 33 and I want to do this, and I'm like, you've got loads of time, and it'll be ones that our kids last two are now just starting, you know, all both at school, and it's like, this is the time, you know, this is the time. Although with that comes a whole other thing.
I know, but if they can walk to and from school, they're on their own.
Yeah.
Get chips on the way home, love, I'm out.
Well, what you'll find is when they're at school, I know where you're at, and you probably look at me going, oh my God, I can't wait till they can just dress themselves, which they still can't do. I think I'll be dressing them till they're flipping 18. But it's now just a PA. It's that stress. Yeah. I am a PA for, you know, three people, myself and the two boys, because they have a very, you know, one's going to a party today, and you know, it's we've got to get the present and where it is and blah blah blah. We've got to start plumbing wrapping up soon. I think we can both agree that basically just needs to be a bit more honesty. You know, there's nothing wrong, like you said, about going back to the nursery. I mean, maybe nannies and stuff aren't as expensive as you might think, although it might be now, but I always went for the childminder option because they're a bit more flexible around time with and actually, because I'm getting a bit more evening gigs and my husband gigs as well, so I didn't I didn't marry someone like you did. I need to get some. So we're looking at we need more evening babysitter options because, I'm digressing. But I think, just needs to be a bit more honesty of people sort of saying you can have this, when really behind the scenes there's either a lot of family help or there's nannies, and that's fine. But I think people just need to be honest. I watched something on telly the other day, which I won't name who it was, and she felt like there was a point in her life where she had to make a choice between acting or having children. And I do know this person, and I know this person gets a lot of help from her family, and I know, like, to the point where she'll go away and she can leave her kids with her mum, you know. And just be honest that that's what's happening. There's nothing wrong in that. It takes a village, as they say, but we want to look like we can just do it all. No, I'm on stage and I'm rocking the baby with one foot off stage, you know. And maybe you are doing that. I mean, love Josie Long, she's on tour at the moment, she's taken the baby with her.
I've taken her with me like to so many gigs now, and like one I took her to Glee, Nottingham. My sister was holding her upstairs, and as I walked on, she was watching me upstairs, and as I walked on, she started crying, and that has got to be the most alien sound in a comedy club on a Saturday night, crying, and the whole audience, as I started my set, looked up to where this noise was coming from.
Oh, how weird.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's mine, and then they were like, what? But I do agree with you. I think the transparency would be nice, but also it also is the Instagram age where things, no one likes to, you know, have this perfect bubble popped, you know. It's like, you know, I think that's what, you know, that's another thing. I've stopped posting on Instagram so much because what am I going to post? Me with like looking like a piece of shit. Like I haven't really brushed my hair and like, you know. I
think that's what we need to see more of, but not that I think you could ever look like a piece of shit.
It's not nice.
But, you know, it is, yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother topic, isn't it? I was saying to my husband the other day, like someone was saying, oh, I never see anyone that's got, you know, messy houses. And I was like, yeah, no, there is a few, I can tell you a few to follow. But the truth is, do we want to see it? We do want that escape when we're scrolling. But then don't you find you get anxious? Or you come off and you go, why am I feeling anxious? Oh, because I've just seen, you know, God love her, Stacey Solomon and her sort of perfect house and all, everyone.
Stacey is a prime example. I really do love that woman. I follow her. I don't really follow many people, but I follow her. And yeah, it's all very idyllic. I would like to see some sort of nappies on the floor maybe once in a while, please.
yeah. But Stacey, I love you, please come on my podcast. She's the original. Have you ever seen the film Happy Go Lucky? It's a Mike Lee film. Oh my god, check it out. She's just like that, just like just so positive about everything, isn't she? I just love
to be fair to old Stace, I actually, have you watched her organizational program?
Oh, Sort Your Life Out. Yeah,
love that program. And actually, maybe her house is just spotless all the time, because she is just the queen of like organization.
Yeah.
So maybe we just all need to be a bit more Stacey, to be fair.
Well, she just loves the organization, labels and all like that. Are you into all that? A bit of
I mean, I love looking at it online. Yeah. I would love to do it myself, but no. I was like, oh my god, yeah, I could get a label maker. I'm like look at these IKEA hacks. I'm like, oh my god, I could build that. And then like, obviously I save it and then I never do it.
Yeah, click the save. Well, I've got a label maker, but I think the labels are messy, and then put crap in this box.
Crap
in that box. Oh well, Kelly, from what I can see, your house looks very nice from here, but I mean, that's how we do it with Zoom. We angle it.
I don't know. I mean, the toys.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to, hello, B, what are you saying about, and we've got about 4 minutes left, about having the two kids close together, to quote, I think I quoted her a few times on here, Holly Walsh, when she came on, she had her kids quite close, and she said, she sees it as like having the mess of your house or whatever, why clear up? Just keep going and then do a big clear up. And that's like, that's the metaphorical side of having two kids, isn't it?
Just get them out, just whack them out, just get it done, and then you can just start, you know, moving on with your life.
It's this little disturbance or whatever it was, and then you'll become the true wrinkly comedian.
Yeah, so what, on stage, yeah.
I can't wait for that. Me and you with our glasses. So you still on tour while you're pregnant at the moment?
Yeah, I've got gigs right up until virtually my due date. And then I think this time, unless, you know, Kevin Bridges comes knocking and wants me to support him.
He does like listen to this podcast. Yeah.
Hey, Kev. If there's an opportunity, I'm never going to turn it down. But I think that with two, maybe a little bit more than 3 months this time, I think it was fine. It worked and we made it work. But I think that if I can, it would just be good to just have a little bit more time. And then, back to it. You know, it's... it's what I do, it's what I love, and I've got to make it work. It's just a little bit slower. The momentum is going to be slower for a couple of years, I think, and there's no reason why that can't pick up again. But I'll just be honest with myself that it's never going to be me running around. You know, like Joanne McNally, she's like a great friend of mine and I love her. Like, she's had this meteoric success virtually overnight, and she has barely been home for years.
Yeah.
I don't think her feet has touched the ground, and as much as I would love that same success, there's absolutely no way on this earth that I could do it right now. Ooh. So I mean, I can't even do a podcast without climbing around me. So,
well, you said there is no rush, and I think just enjoy this next baby, because, you know, I tried to say that to myself with the second one, and not because I think the first one I did feel this rush to go out and prove. We have this voice in us, you sort of think, I've got to prove something, and I tried to really not listen and just stay at home, have the baby laid on me, I'm tits out, you know. I wasn't even breastfeeding, just out. well, thank you so much, Kelly and B. You've been the perfect. Hey. She's been the perfect PA, hasn't she?
She has.
A good girl.
A good girl.
Bull.
So, if people want to see you and come and see you, just follow you on Instagram.
Kelly_Convy. I'm on Insta. very rarely on Twitter, but I'm on there and Facebook and
your website.
Yeah, all that jazz. Kelly Convy, you'll find me. I'll be selling my tour for 2030. Bring your fags.
Yeah, bring your fags.
Bring your fags. Are we on the stage drinking and smoking?
Bring back cigarettes. Stop this vaping. We want vintage fags.
Yeah, I'll be up there moaning about my wife not cooking me dinner. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.